and turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of Christ dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His." So unless you are born again, unless God's Spirit dwells into you, you do not belong to Christ. You're not His child. You must be born again. Heavenly Father, thank You for the word that we just read, and I pray that You'd help me to be a blessing this morning. Challenge our hearts and let us see what we need to change in our lives. And Lord, help us to hold on to those things where we're in line with Your will and Your word, and to hold on to those things and not let go of them and not backslide. And Lord, but help us to be moving forward, we pray, and we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Now this morning, I just want to look at this. You know, there's an amazing, so many times when we read the Bible, we have a time where there's an emphasis, and preachers will oftentimes emphasize part of the scripture because they're trying to make a point. But sometimes the problem with preaching that way is that people that are in the pew that look at that, they tend to just pigeonhole that scripture and don't look any deeper. And that's dangerous, or can be dangerous, because you get yourself in a complacent point and you never go back to that scripture and you get the idea. And the worst thing about it is every time it's preached, you just, "Oh, I've heard that," and you turn it off. And I think a lot of times this passage of scripture gets that way, because many times, for example, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, it says, There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Right. Now, we look at that from the idea of salvation, and we look at that from the idea of our sins being forgiven, and we say, if you're saved, there's no condemnation. You're not going to stand accountable to God for your sins in the sense of your salvation. You're not going to be judged by your sins. Your sins were judged at Calvary's cross. Jesus bore those sins in His own body when He was on the tree. And we talk about that, but that is talking about the Christian's position, if you will. That's positional, if you will, for lack of a better word. In other words, salvation is paid for, it's done. We're not going to come into condemnation. But you cannot just stop there with this verse. Because it adds, it says and there are a lot of preachers that have preached this, and I've heard them preach it. They preach as if the verse said, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus," and then there's a period there. Matter of fact, I actually heard one preacher one time say that there should be a period there. Now, if you want to sit there and try to correct God's word, something's wrong with you. preachers preach this as if it were, there was a period there, but it doesn't have a period there. It has a comma. And it says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And that's an important, that's just as important as the first part of the verse. And do I believe that my salvation is complete, eternally secure? Yes, I do. Absolutely, I do. But there is the practical application, the day-by-day application. You see, we look forward to eternity. We look forward to the day we'll have a new body, right? But that day is not now. No. And so, because it's not now, we still have to deal with the flesh, don't we? We have to deal with the flesh in the area of temptation. We have to deal with the flesh in the area of just weakness and frailty. This morning, my alarm went off, and I didn't really want to get up. I'll be honest with you, I'm sleepy now. I didn't want to get up. Now, I know I needed to get up because I have messages to finish preparing for. I've got devotions to do. I've got things I've got to do. I've got spiritual work to do. I've got praying to do. I've got spiritual work to do, right? And so I need to get up. I don't feel like getting up. So that's just a matter of, that's still the flesh, but it's weakness. It's frailty. And so I have to make a decision. Yield to the weakness of the flesh, or yield to the Spirit of God that's telling me to get up.
That's right.
And it says, there's no, therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So what we are supposed to do is we are supposed to walk in this life practically in the Spirit. We have to learn to walk in the Spirit. And it may be something like dealing with temptation. Like I said, you're tempted to sin. Sometimes we don't pay enough attention to the fact that we're being tempted to do anything about it. I mean, if you have a propensity to gossip about people, most of the time people just they jump right in. They don't sit there and think about what they're doing. This morning I got up and I was sitting there laying in bed and my alarm goes off. I turn the alarm off and I'm like, I don't feel like getting up. And I'm sitting there and I'm debating in my mind whether I can get done what I need to get done and catch a little more sleep. And so there's a fight there.
Right?
Right? There's a battle there. It's that weakness of the flesh, that tiredness that made me not want to get up. But I knew I need to get up, so I have to. And trust me, it was not the devil telling me I needed to get up and pray and open my Bible this morning. So who was it? It was the Lord. Sometimes those thoughts about, you think those thoughts about getting up and reading your Bible or praying for people or whatever thing like that, you think those thoughts come from you, but they don't. Did you have those thoughts before you ever got saved? I mean, when I was lost, I never got up and said, you know, I need to get up and read my Bible this morning. I never thought that way. That's the work of the Spirit of God that dwells in me, that lives in me. And Christ condemned sin in the flesh when He died. He died for sin. And He condemned sin in the flesh. And that means the penalty of sin but it also means the power of sin. And just like I, for example, I'm just using gossip as an example, just like I had to make a decision whether I was going to yield to the flesh, how I felt, or to the Spirit, what I knew was right, what God was telling me was right. I had to make a decision. We have to make decisions like that all the time. That is the Christian life. So if I use gossip for an example, and you're sitting there thinking, and you know something about somebody, and you want to tell somebody about something like that. If you're honest with yourself, there. If you're saved, there is a hesitation. There is an understanding, a point where you understand you really shouldn't be doing that. And that is the Spirit of God speaking to your heart. And at that point, you need to make your decision, because it says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I'm talking about lying. I'm talking about any other thing that might be contrary to sound doctrine. That you and I have to get to that point where we acknowledge the Spirit of God speaking to us, and we have to make our decision. And the truth is, you're making a decision, but you're excusing yourself. You're excusing yourself. Now, there are a lot of reasons why people yield to sin. A lot of times it's just plain ignorance. You know, they don't hear the Spirit of God speaking to them, because the Bible says that Jesus, that the Comforter of the Holy Ghost, he would guide us into all truth. He would bring to remembrance whatsoever things Jesus said. If you don't read your Bible and you have never gone through the entire Bible, there's a lot that the Holy Spirit doesn't have to work with. Can't remember what you never seen. And you've heard me say that 100 times. The importance of studying the Word of God and getting the Word of God in your heart. You're giving the Spirit of God something to use to help you to get through temptation. And sometimes we just dismiss it as, well, that's just my own internal dialogue. No, it's not your internal dialogue. It's a dialogue between the flesh and the Spirit. That's what it is. It's that point. And you, praise the Lord, you and I, we have the power as believers to choose. And we should choose rightly. And we have to learn to choose rightly. Why? The righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. If you and I learn to yield to the Spirit, we're not going to break the law. That's a battle we have. We fail sometimes. There are times when I feel tired and I know I need to get up that I don't get up right away. And I wake up later and say, man, I should have got up. And sometimes I have to say, Father, forgive me, I should have gotten up. And you're saying, are you worried about piddling little things like that? See, that's the problem. You think it's a piddling little thing.
Yeah. Go ahead, preach, brother.
It's not a piddling little thing. It's an important thing. The Bible is the Word of God. It is not the word of men. I don't have any quibble whether you disregard the word of any man on the face of the earth. I don't have any problem if you disregard what I preach from this pulpit, as long as you study the Scripture and find out whether or not I'm telling you the truth. Because if you study the Scriptures and you find out that I'm speaking the truth from this pulpit, and then you disregard it, it's not me you're disregarding, is it? It's God. That's why everybody says, I don't like what that preacher preaches. Well, wait a minute. I understand that, but is he preaching the truth or isn't he? If he's preaching the truth, you ought to pay attention to it. But that's a battle of the flesh and spirit too. The flesh says, well, he's just a man. And the flesh is right. But the question is, am I a man called of God? Let's finish the equation there. Let's finish the equation. Am I a man called of God to preach the Word of God? And I'll go you one better. If some brother or sister comes up and wants to share something with you from the Bible, if you're doing wrong and somebody comes up and has the courage and the love toward you to speak the truth in love and comes up to you and says, look, brother, sister, this isn't right. And here's what the Bible says about that. Now, you can get all mad and say, well, I'm just as good as you are. Well, sure you are. You're just as bad as I am too, by the way.
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is, are they telling you the truth in that moment in time? And so what I'm simply saying is, we have to have the Word of God in us. We have to learn to yield ourselves to the Spirit of God so that we can walk in the Spirit. And to yield, you have to be able to listen to what the Spirit of God is saying. You have to be able to hear. I mean, I've used so many examples of this at a time, but, you know, there's always that little time to where, you know, just like Brother Elijah, when he was up there and there was thunder and lightning and an earthquake and all these things and the voice of God, God was not in those things. He wasn't in the whirlwind, he wasn't in the thunder, he wasn't in the lightning, he wasn't in the earthquake and all that, but that small, still voice. He was there. Do you think God put that in there by accident? And, I mean, God, if He wants to slap you upside the head, He's got the power to do it. But how often does God do that? No. Not until we disregard His Word. And the simple fact is that we have to learn to that small, still voice. It may be just that moment. Just learn to say yes to it. That's what we need to do. Learn to say yes. So we could talk about all kinds of different things, but the righteousness of the law are fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. That there's a positional side to this that says, yes, all our sins have been forgiven and we will not stand accountable to God for them. But there's a practical side to this that says that if we walk after the Spirit, there's no condemnation to them that walk after the Spirit. And here's the point I want to make to you. How often do you feel like you're under condemnation? How often do you walk through life and feel like you're under condemnation? Like, oh, God's mad at me. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have done this. And the Bible has the remedy for that, by the way. It's that old-fashioned altar, whether it be here at the in front of the pulpit, at the front of this church, or whether it be in your closet at home, or in your bedroom on your knees, or in your car, or wherever it is. It's that point of humbling yourself before God and saying, Father, please forgive me. What I did was wrong. It was sin. And help me by your grace to change. See, when you come to God, you ought to want to change, not just want Him to absolve you. We're not Catholics here. We don't want somebody to come up and just absolve us of our sins so we can go on and then worry about the next time when we come to confess. We come and we want to confess not to man but to God, and we want to confess to our Father, and we want to have the idea that God helps us to become who we ought to, that we learn to walk in the Spirit. That's the way we ought to be. And so when we look at this passage of Scripture, there is that positional, but there's the practical, isn't it? The everyday. And the Bible says, they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity to God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. This world, when before I got saved, there was no possibility that I could please God. All of my righteousnesses were as filthy rags. But now I can please God. You're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. That's the real question. Does the Spirit of God dwell in you? If you say He does, why don't you hear it? Why don't you learn to recognize when the Spirit of God is speaking to your heart? And that ought to be the goal of a Christian. That ought to be our life's work, to be able to understand when God is speaking to us. To know when He's speaking to us through the Word of God. And to know when the Spirit of God is speaking to us. That's what we need to do. So that's where we'll stop today. And that's the challenge right there. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll close out. Father, I pray You'd help us to learn to walk in the Spirit as we ought to. We're so thankful that our sins have been paid for. That penalty was borne by Jesus on the cross, and He shed His blood as payment, and He rose from the dead as proof that it's been paid in full. We thank You for that. But Lord, those of us that are saved, we have the earnest of the Spirit in our lives, in our hearts. And Lord, if there's anyone that doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, he's not saved. And so Lord, help us to learn, now that we have Your Spirit, that Comforter, the Holy Ghost dwelling in us, that we would learn to say yes to Him, that we would learn to hear His voice, both in the Scriptures and in the moment. Help us to learn to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.